Doesn't that just make that word peace? Makes you just kind of like want to take a deep breath and be like, the word peace brings a lot of comfort. But when I say, oh, it's Christmas time, some of you were like, oh. The thought of the Christmas season could bring some different feelings. For me, it feels like I feel joyful, I feel excitement. Sometimes we might feel anxiety, anger, fear. And quite honestly, in the last 20 years, I don't think I've heard a lot of people use the word peaceful to describe the Christmas season, right? As actually, over the last 20 years, these are things that I've noticed, that I just kind of took note of. I feel like things are quite the opposite. People are more on edge. People are impatient. People are self-seeking. All things that are in complete opposition of what this season is supposed to be. Is it possible that we've allowed Christmas to be more about ourselves than about Jesus? Is that possible? Is it possible that by doing so, we've caused imbalance within ourselves? Is it possible that by allowing busyness, gift giving, parties, and family gatherings to rule this season, we've stepped right into the enemy's plan to make us dread celebrating the sacrificial birth of the one who made a way for us to have access to God? Is that possible? So, the series is called Peace. And the opposite, the exact opposite of peace is chaos. So I've entitled this message, How's Chaos Working for You? How's that working for you? Do you enjoy how chaos makes you feel? Uptight, on edge, insecure, depressed? How's that working for you? It doesn't work well for me. Jesus' birth had many purposes for those who believe in him. And I want to talk to you about one of those purposes today. We're going to look for the next 4 weeks. Our anchor scripture, well, this week and the next 3 weeks, our anchor scripture is the one that I'm about ready to share with you. And it's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And it says, For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Excuse me while I take it. Let me give you a little background on this prophecy that Isaiah spoke. The people of Israel were living in very dark times. They had really lost hope that their rescuer would ever come. They were in captivity, or they were heading into captivity. They had lost sight of who they were, God's chosen people. They were worshiping other gods. They were stepping out of God's plan for their lives. And they felt hopeless. Like, how are we going to ever break this cycle? They would try, and they would start to move forward, and then the same old stuff and the same old temptations from outside nations would come in and tempt them again. And God used the prophet Isaiah to let them know, I see you. I see you. I see what you're going through. I see what you're doing. I see the patterns. I see the cycle. I see that you're stuck. And I want you to know, very soon, a child's going to be born. He's going to be the one that you're looking for. And he'll be these things to you. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And over the next few weeks, we're going to hone in on his title, Prince of Peace. Because as I said before, I think this Christmas season has been overshadowed with so much things that are the opposite of peace, that are quite chaotic, that when we come up to this holiday time, we feel on edge, we feel angry, we feel like we can't wait for it to be over. So in the original text of Isaiah, the word for peace is shalom. The Hebrew word here is shalom. This word shalom means wellness or completeness. So Isaiah is saying his title is going to be the Prince of Wellness, the Prince of Completeness. Ooh, how about that? In his presence, we feel complete. We feel whole. To take it a little bit farther, and I wish that I could have figured out how to like get the actual characters from the Hebrew alphabet to spell out this word. Okay, there's four characters in the Hebrew alphabet that stand for the word shalom. And in the Hebrew language, each character has its own meaning. Are you guys ready? This is so exciting. When you look at the Hebrew characters for the word shalom, each character means this. Together, it means the power to overcome the authority that holds chaos. Oh, did you just feel that? Like I felt it. Let me say that again. The power to overcome the authority. Actually, it's not overcome. The power to destroy. That's the word. The power to destroy the authority that holds chaos. When we are facing chaos, we're not facing a feeling. We're facing a principality. We're facing a darkness, right? And God gave Satan authority on this earth. He has authority to bring chaos, to bring destruction. But I also know this, that there's a name that's above every other name. There's a name that nothing can stand against. There's a name that destroys every other authority, and that name is Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, the King of Wellness and Wholeness, and in his presence, he destroys the authority of chaos in our lives. Ooh. So, when we're lacking shalom, we are compromised versions of who God created us to be. When that's lacking in our lives, we're compromised. Because God created us in his image. God created us to live in shalom, in wellness, in wholeness, in completeness, in authority. And when we are lacking shalom, we're compromised versions of who God created us to be. So I'm going to quickly go through three things that God just spoke to my heart as I was preparing this message. And I was actually like, oh, Pastor Cherie, you are awesome. You are awesome. All right, here it is. Here's shalom. Okay, and it reads from right to left, okay? So here's the four characters right here, okay? And actually, it doesn't read perfectly this way. These two kind of talk about things. So it's the authority, the power to destroy, the authority that holds chaos. Thank you. You're so awesome. You're so awesome. So let me just talk to you a little bit about the three things that Holy Spirit brought up to me as I was preparing for this message. First of all is this: we were created to live in peace, in shalom. That's what we were created to do. Peace is in the natural DNA of our beings because we were created in the image of God, just like Genesis 1:26 says. Let us create man in our own image. Who's us? The Godhead, Father, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit are talking to each other at the beginning of time. And like, hey, let's create man in our own image. Let's give him a spirit that connects with us. And I think there's a misunderstanding when it comes to peace, shalom, and chaos. There's this misunderstanding that peace means absence. Well, if I could just get rid of the chaos, if I could just eliminate stress, if I could just cut this person out of my life, then it would be peaceful. That is not what peace is. Shalom is found in presence, not elimination, not in absence. Shalom is found in the presence of God. God's presence destroys chaos, strife, and stress. It's not based on the person or the situation or the world around us. God's presence destroys those things. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, this is what it says. You will keep him in perfect peace. Again, that word shalom, wholeness, completeness. All who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Does that say you'll keep him in perfect peace? All who cut out people that are causing stress. All who find the right job that won't cause anxiety. You'll keep him in perfect peace. All those who spend time talking nice. No. It says you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Well, what does it look to fix our minds, our thoughts on God? What does that look like? Well, it looks like disciplining ourselves. That when we start feeling uptight, when we start feeling stress, when we start feeling like, oh, what am I going to do in this situation? That we stop. We turn on worship music. We start talking to Jesus. We start talking to the one who has the authority to destroy chaos in our lives, and we invite him into that situation. Because we were created to live in shalom. The second thing is this: Satan is constantly trying to disturb our peace. Right? He's constantly doing everything he can to disturb our peace. There are going to be moments when things don't go the way you expected. There's always going to be people that you don't really mesh with. And there's always going to be some sort of imperfect situation. Why? Well, Jesus talked to us about it. In John chapter 16, verse 33, it's in the Passion Translation. This is what he said. Jesus is saying this to his disciples. And I've taught you this so that the peace, shalom, which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you, what? Rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you are going to experience troubles and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. Hang on just a minute. Keep that verse right there. So many times we look at this part right here. We start right here. For in this unbelieving world, you'll experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous. For I have conquered the world. You be courageous. And we miss the first part. I've taught you this so that the peace, the shalom that is in me will be in you, and you will, it'll give you great confidence as you rest in me. Destroying chaos, destroying Satan's plan to disturb your peace has nothing to do with going out and fighting. It has everything to do with being still and resting and letting God's presence fill our hearts, fill our homes, and fill the situations that we're facing. So the last part is this. This year, let's do it differently. How's chaos working for you? How does the craziness that society has stamped on the Christmas season that is meant to commemorate the sacrificial birth of my Lord and Savior, how does chaos work for you in that situation? Answer, it doesn't. It actually distracts us for the whole purpose of what we're celebrating. So this Christmas season, Hope City, let's do it differently. Can we? Let's do it differently. This Christmas season, take time to be in God's presence every day. It's going to look different for each and every one of you. Whether that means getting up a few minutes early and turning on worship music and spending time just praying and inviting Jesus into your day. Whether that means at work, just stepping away and talking to Jesus. Listening to music that's going to like encourage your soul instead of tear it down. I don't know what it looks like. But let's take time to be in his presence every day. Here's one. Invite Jesus into the decision-making process of the season. Right? And what does that look like? Well, let me just be honest. How much do we need to spend on gifts? Like, let's invite Jesus. How much do you want me to spend on gifts? I'm not up here saying that gifts are bad. At all. Okay? We were given the greatest gift of all times that was born and laid in a feeding trough in Bethlehem. That's why I give gifts, as a commemoration of the greatest gift of all times. Giving gifts is not a bad thing, but when it turns into whether someone's going to like it or appreciate it, or is this gift going to be better than the one I gave last year or better than Harry's gift, that's where we get off wrong. So what if we ask Jesus, like, how much should I budget for gift giving? What should my gifts look like this year? How do you want me to give gifts? Woo! Let's invite him into our calendars. I'm just preaching everybody's message in a mini-series right here, okay? Just so you know, like, Pastor Jason and Pastor Shree are looking at me like, dude, I'm preaching that. I know. I'm just, like, giving you a highlight. Okay? So what do we need to say yes to, and what do we need to say no to? Everyone practice this word with me. No. Hey, you want to come to this Christmas party? It's going to be so much fun. No. Okay, or you could be like, say, no, thank you. I appreciate the invite, but no, thank you. You don't have to say yes to everything. I know, FOMO is a real thing. Do you know what that is? Fear of missing out. It's a real thing. My daughter Julia is the biggest sufferer in the world of FOMO, right? Okay? Listen, I promise you, shalom is way better than any event that you could attend, all right? Let's enjoy the simple things of Christmas. Turning on the Christmas tree lights in a dark room and sitting there in the quiet. Ooh, the peace, the shalom that comes from that. Okay, listening to Christmas music. I'm sorry, but this brings me joy. I love listening to Christmas music. You know what else I love doing? Sitting in front of the Christmas tree with the lights down, the Christmas tree lights on, and having a crackling fireplace on YouTube. I don't have a fireplace in my house, but there's these great things on YouTube that you can just select, and there's like this popping fireplace now in front of you. It's amazing. I love it. I love it. Try it. Can we just remember the true reason that we come into this season? Now, if we're going to get all theological about it, I realize the actual birth of Jesus took place probably in like April or May. I don't care. Listen, it is what it is. This is the time that for however long we celebrate his birth. It's called Christmas. It's what we do. Okay? What's the real meaning of this season? Just in case you forgot, let me just share it with you, shall we? In Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in the middle of verse 10, I believe. This is the angel that appeared to the shepherds. By the way, let me just give you a hint of who this angel is. His name's Gabriel. Do you know that Gabriel also appeared to Zechariah to tell him about the birth of John the Baptist, and then again to Mary to tell her that she's going to be the mother of Jesus, and then again to Joseph to tell him that the woman he was engaged to was going to be the mother of the Messiah? That same angel got the privilege of appearing to shepherds on the hillside. Regular, ordinary people, even the lowliest of people in those times. And this is what he said. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. This is a time of great joy. This season is to be marked with great joy, celebration, and shalom. Let's do it differently. Let's do it differently. Let's pray. Father, today, I know that there's people sitting in this room